Come on in, everybody. Grab your seats. We're going to worship the Lord today. Today is a good day. Today is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in Him. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we pray for those that are still traveling. Pray for those that are on their way, Lord God. Thank you for those that are already here.
Open the eyes of the blind, there's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you, none like you. Yeah.
God, before us, who can be against us?
Thank you.
to Jesus Christ, surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee.
Once more, we sing together a cappella.
I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Lord, we know it is sweet to trust in You, Lord Jesus. We thank You that we can trust in You.
It is so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the saith the Lord.
Good news.
God does have a message for you. Hooray! And I say that specifically because up until all last week, I was preparing for a message to give a Sunday. For those of you who don't know, we go book by book through the Bible so that people can understand what it means in context and not be blown around by the winds and the waves and the storms and the selfishness of man, but so we can know what the Word says in context. And so people have been asking me all week, you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to teach? Because I would like to read ahead. And so I'll get into that in just a minute. But I was preparing up until yesterday, and I felt like the Lord was saying, no, I want you to give a different message. And I thought, oh, Lord, this is too late. It's Saturday. That's not good for me. So then I started working, maybe it was Friday, then I started working on this message. So then I had a whole other 45-minute message to give on, and I was preparing PowerPoints. So I've got like three PowerPoints. And then the Lord, I still didn't feel like, I don't know, when you're trusting in the Lord, you know, it's like, I surrender all. He stretches you, you know. So it's like, okay, Lord, you want me to totally trust. And then something wasn't right, and I just prayed for clarity. And the Lord did something really cool. So I'm like, Lord, I also watched a little video. And he said, I want you to show that. Well, I said, Lord, you want me to do this book of the Bible? You want me to do this teaching? You want me to do this video? I said, there's no way. I said, I don't understand. So I was praying, and this is now we're in like Saturday night. I'm like, and then Gary sends me a little text. He never sends this text. He's like, I don't know. It's like, I'm just praying for you for clarity. I was like, oh, okay, Lord, yes. And so God gave clarity into what he wanted to do today. And so all those things are true that he wants me to do, but he wants me to do it in a certain little way. Okay? So we'll get to that in just a minute. So I was thinking, man, but the storm, I wonder if anybody's even going to be here. Because, you know, in Florida now, if you're from Florida and it rains, it's like, ooh! You hear a storm, and it's like, that's it, I'm not going out. And I have to confess, and I'm a little embarrassed about this, that is one of the reasons why today you don't have all the Panera Bread and the goodies and the yummy stuff that we normally have, because I didn't go out last night. Because, yes, I was windy, and it was too stormy. So whatever, so okay, there you go. Couple quick things folks wanted me to mention. It's the summer months. And we're just winding them down, and we don't take up tithes and offerings. For those of you guys who know this, we do have a burn box in the back that we provide in the back for you guys to place your tithes and offerings there. All that goes to the Lord. We use it just to minister to others. We don't want to put that pressure on you, but we want you to know about that. Also, QuickBooks training. We've got a training class free, and the sign-up is in the back. And that is Saturday, September 9th. Is that correct? So Mary Foreman is a CPA, and she does an amazing job. And so if you guys would like this class, QuickBooks class, completely for free, just sign a little piece of paper back there on one of the things and see Mary Kate. And she'll take up tithes and offerings. So anyway, it's just free as a gift to you in Jesus' name. I would take advantage of it. Actually, that's not really to admit, my wife took advantage of it. Counting to me is like eating sand. It's not. Okay. Also, but anyway, okay, so you're feeling led to start a ministry. Some folks are asking you, hey, what do we do if we want to start something? If we want to, all you have to do, if you're feeling led of the Holy Spirit, you know, we want to support you. And so just come talk to us, talk to Gary, me, or whatever. If your God is putting in something on your heart, we want to support you, whether it be encouragement or prayer, financially, however way we can. We don't have much, but what we have, we'll give you. And so if you want to start something, please see us, and we'll go forward from there. A couple things that just to make you aware of. This is Dr. David Jeremiah, and he is looking old. But he is a wonderful teacher, and he has been for many years. Turning Point, for those of you guys who remember. I had a chance to talk with him, I don't know, some years back, just him and I at an elevator after a conference for
preachers. And just such a great time together. He's just such a heart. And anyway, he's coming October 3rd to the USF Sun Dome, and the event is free. Wow. It's on a Tuesday night. So, Gary, I'm even thinking if you want to do just mention it, just pray about it. But it's a free event. The doors open at 5:30. You can save seats up to 6:30, as many as you want. All the tickets are free online at the Joy FM events. And I just want to make sure if you guys want to go to that, that you're informed. It's just, I love it. It's just a blessing at the USF Sun Dome, and it's all for free in Jesus' name. I love that. We also have Chris Tomlin, who's also at the USF Sun Dome. That is not for free. The tickets are about $25 to $75, and that's the Good Father Tour with Matt Mayer, and so that's November 4th, if anyone's interested in that. Also, Matthew West, the All-In Tour, October 4th. Wednesday. That's here at the Bradenton Convention Center, right over the bridge. And the tickets for that are $25 at joyfm.com. So if you guys are interested in going, it's a place to go. Okay, so here we have Equipping the Ministry. We have a little loaner library in back. You guys already know these things. If you want to take home CDs that you can listen to on the car, audio books, Christian books, or books to check out, or videos, they're all free in Jesus' name. We've got sermons online. If you guys, anybody missed the Jonah series, I would really encourage you to check that out online. We spent about 2 months in Jonah. Prayer meetings here at about 9. Does get started maybe around 9:15, Gary, somewhere around there, actually get started. I loved it this morning. I was so encouraged and blessed with everybody praying. Honestly, I felt like God just plugged me in. And so just want to invite you out. It is the 5th. Week of the month, so there is no men's group like normal. It's kind of an odd week. There is going to be a Transformers Bible study this Wednesday because Josh and Amanda Panda want to pour into the kids every week, and so we will be meeting for Wednesday youth group. Oh, there they are. It's also 5th week for the Thursday night barbecue and Bible study. So listen, we won't have food this week like we normally do. It's a big shebang that we do. We're just going to come and pray for an hour or so. So if you'd like to join us from 6 to 8 p.m., because it's the 5th week, we're just going to come for prayer, all right? But we want to invite you out. All right, now let's go. Oh, yeah. Somebody wanted to see these bunch of people, but they're all not here because of the storm. Speaking of storms, though, that was an amazing baptism in the storm, wasn't it? And if you would, I don't know where the microphone is.
Here.
But would somebody take a minute? Does anybody feel led? Here are some of the new folks. We just baptized 6 people last month. Does anybody feel led to pray for these 6 folks? Because they're starting out new in the Lord or rededicating in the Lord. Does anybody feel led to pray over them? If not, I'll pray. But if you feel led, just raise your hand and we'll bring the microphone for you. Because times, we live in perilous times, and I want them to be prayed for. So does anybody feel led specifically? Great, thank you.
Father God, in Jesus' name we come. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of coming to the very throne room of God. Not because of who we are, but because of what you've done. Lord, we've got some folks that have said they want to walk with you. May we as a body do what is necessary. Do what you call us to do. To show them, not just tell them, but to show them how to walk the walk. Lord, there needs to be some teaching done on this. And may those of us that are qualified to do that stand up and say, I'll help. May they be comfortable in asking for that help and asking about how to do this. May we be willing to tell them how to do something, not what to do. Because there's plenty of what to do and not near enough of how do I do it. So may we listen for your heart, listen for your spirit, listen for your guidance, your direction, your leading in leading these newbies to you. You told me a long time ago, had to be 35, 40 years ago, you said, you lead them to me. I lead them to you, you lead them back to me, and everybody's happy. So Lord, lead them to those that you would have them learn from, so that we can lead them back to you, so that we as a body can all be happy. Yes, in Christ's name.
Amen. Okay, so like we said, we've been in the book of Jonah for about 2 months. And we just finished that. And we left off with poor Jonah. He was doing a lot of waiting instead of, and a lot of sitting up on that hill criticizing instead of a lot of working, which is what I see a lot of folks in Christendom doing these days. And we need to be working and discipling others. And it starts individually. And so that's where we left Jonah. And it all starts with Jesus. So if anybody wants to read ahead, Colossians chapter 1, next week we're going to be talking about Jesus. And in this ever-increasing world of issues and problems and struggles and opposition and physically and spiritually and government, you just all over the place, we need to know where we stand. And we need to know that it's in Jesus Christ. He's our substance. He's our supremacy. He's our sufficiency. It's all about Jesus. He's where we're going to grow. He's going to be the one that's speaking to us. He's going to lead us. He's going to give us the strength. He's going to give us the motivation. He's going to give us the drive. He is overall in all, and he's the one we need to be following. Okay, so it's all about Jesus. However, I'm going to zip by very quickly. Don't look, pretend you don't see any of these things. Okay, you don't see it. You don't see it. See nothing. Because the Lord wanted me to give a little message and a video today, and so we're just going to be obedient. And one of the things about Colossians is it's all about Jesus. Now, Oswald Chambers, he wrote a little devotional called The Post for His Highest, fantastic, and he says God's people are ordinary people who have been made extraordinary. And so if I had titled this little mini-message, which I did actually, From Ordinary to Extraordinary. And the neat thing about Jesus, what he does and what he did is he came, even when he was born, he didn't come. If I was gone, here's what I would do. I would have come to the movers, the shakers, you know, I would have come to the money guys, the Forbes, the influential, the Microsofts, you know, the big guns in Hollywood. You know, but Jesus, who did he first show himself to? Shepherds, the lowest of the low at that time. And you know what? Actually, that makes me feel pretty good. You know why? Because I'm not really super rich, powerful, influential. I'm just like your average guy. Right? No big intellectual money maker, mover, shaker. I'm just Aaron. You know? I'm just a guy, an ordinary guy. You're an ordinary girl that the King of the universe wants to come into your life as you surrender to him. And lead you to do extraordinary things. Things you can't even imagine. As you trust in him. As you surrender continually. God wants to do cool things. Exceedingly, abundantly more than what you could ask for or imagine. And that's not a pep talk. That's God's word. That's his promise to you. Now you might be thinking to yourself, well, I'm just Thomas Sopkin. Yeah, I'm just Ray. You know? I'm just Jim. What can I do? And God says, oh, apart from me, you really can't do anything. But through me, with me, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. And so that's what God wants to talk about today. I want to focus on Jesus. And then as we go through the next couple months, going through the book of Colossians, it's only 4 chapters long, but it's so focused on Jesus. I love it. And so what we're going to do today, and I'm going to not even read it. Okay, so this is very different from what we normally do, verse by verse, because if I even read the passage in Mark chapter 5, 1 to 20, What I'll do is I'll be stuck with teaching it. We'll never get to the video he wants to show because I just can't help myself. So that's why I said put the PowerPoint aside, put that other thing aside. I just want you to share the story. And if you guys remember the story, it's the man, Jesus was with his disciples doing lots of ministry, and he was on the Sea of Galilee, and there was a very Jewish side in Israel at the time, and there was a very kind of a pagan side, a Gentile side, okay? And what I want us to pick up from, and Jesus, he left everything and he took his disciples and he went to go see this one guy. This one guy was a bad guy. He was a demon-possessed guy. And you're going to see God chose one guy with nothing, and used him to influence multitudes. And that's what God wants to do with you. And that's what he wants to do with me. But only as you surrender to him. Okay? So here's the deal. Even, I think, back to in the book of Acts, chapter 4, when they, all the religious leaders, and they're all their pomp, and all their church stuff, and all their education, and all their intellect, they brought those disciples, you know, Peter and John, before the Sanhedrin, the ruling council, the Pharisees, and when they spoke, the disciples, they were so blown away. And then they said this. This is just funny to me. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated, right? Common people, they were astonished, or they marveled, or they were blown away. Because that's what Jesus does. When he takes an ordinary person that's surrendered and submitted to him, and leads them, he can do anything. Yes, Mark.
The rest of that is why they were astonished. And it says they recognized them as having been with Jesus.
Yes.
And you know what? The good news is that we can all hang out with Jesus in this book. And people will be can be astonished by Jesus Christ through us because we hang out with him too.
Yes. And not just, yes, and it is, as we get his word, his heart, his character inside of us, we hide his word in our heart, you know, but also his practical presence every day with us, as he goes with us, as we step, as we pray, as we walk, as we do things throughout the day. But that's right, that was my next point, but that's good, you're right on target. The reason why they said that is because he had been with Jesus. They didn't need anything else, right? We think we need the money, or we need the intellect, or we need the degree, or we need the finances, or we need to be with Jesus. That's what it comes down to. He's your hope. He's your light. He's your salvation. He's your sufficiency. He's your provision. He'll be your everything if you allow him to do that. That's our God. I just love this. I don't know if I did so many different PowerPoints yesterday. I'm like, all right. So Jesus is going over to this other side, right, of the Sea of Galilee, and it's called the Decapolis, and it just means 10 cities, okay? So there's a bunch of cities all kind of clumped together on the other side of the Sea of Galilee in Israel, and that's where, if you just want to be a Jew, that's where you would go. That's where the god of Baal-Zebul, where we get our word Beelzebub, live, that they worship. Baal-Zebul, the god of prosperity, right? That's where he was. That's where all the pagans and the Gentiles, you know, the Romans, the Greeks, that's where they lived. And the Jews that just wanted to live that way. Okay? And right now, this is one of the cities that we visited. Beit Shean in what they call it in Israel, but it's called Sipopolis. And I mean, they've got tons of stuff there. You can kind of see some of it. I had tons of stuff, but he said, use that for another time. So if I ever teach it verse by verse, you'll know. Huge amphitheater. This is the main street road down here. They've got other theaters here. They've got over here, if I remember correctly, either here or here, Roman bathhouses. I think that's what this was. Yes, this is the pool area. Roman bathhouses. They had steam baths and they had potty areas, believe it or not. Public potty areas where you would go, like 50, 60 people. You would all, anyway, I've always been We'll save it for another time. The bottom line is just a very pagan, Greek, non-God-fearing area. And Jesus said, I want to go over to the other side. So he wants to go over to this place. And the disciples must be thinking, why are we doing that? We want to tell people about the Lord. We want to tell people you're the Messiah. Why do you want to do this? I don't get it. He's like, that's okay. You might not understand. But I want to go over to the other side here. And I want to minister to this person. Now, they didn't know me. So they get in this boat with Jesus, right? And you remember the story. He's going over to the other side and a huge, fierce storm comes, right? And if you ever seen the Sea of Galilee, I don't know if you've ever been there, or it's more like a giant lake, really. This is a picture of it. It's beautiful. It's so peaceful. It's hard to even think of the Sea of Galilee being anything but glassy, honestly, when you go on it. However, even folks like Rumsey, who's lived in Israel, he's told me, yes, when there's storms, the waves can get very high. And you can take a little fishing boat, and it can be crazy. And so they're going across the Sea of Galilee, and they intense this fierce storm. The waves are coming in. The boat's crashing. They're freaking out. You remember Jesus, he gets up. Remember the story? And what does he do? Peace be still. He rebukes the storm. That's exactly right. But here's the interesting thing. Jesus used a word in Greek that wasn't just like, hey, I want you to be calm. He used a word that he would use when he would go and meet demons. And they would speak, I know who you are. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he would use a term, he would say, demuzzle, which would mean be muzzled. Silence. Stop your speaking. And he used the same words to stop this storm. Demuzzle. Be still. Be muzzled. Stop. So there was some sort of demonic entity stopping him from going over to the other side to meet this one person's need. Right? So the demons, they're sending everything he can, and he just stops it. Right there. Be muzzled. Stop. Now the disciples are going, I knew we shouldn't have gone over to this side, you know? And then they pull up in their little fishing boat, and you know what happens? There's a guy who rushes them. There's a guy that comes out. Now, he is feared in this whole area, of the Decapolis. He is feared because they actually chained him up, but the chains couldn't hold him because he was possessed by a bunch of demons. Not just one, a bunch, legion. Now, I don't know how many were actually in him, but a legion carries thousands. So this demon-possessed guy sees Jesus, right? And his disciples getting off the boat, you would think he would run and hide. What does he do? Runs right for him. Now you know the disciples are going, I knew it! See, Jesus? What did I tell you? Pagan area, demon-possessed guy, right when we get off the boat. We shouldn't even be here. But Jesus cares about the one person. See, everybody wants the big, big, big shebang thing. Jesus cares about one person. He cares about you. 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 And so no storm is going to stop him. No demons are going to stop him. So he runs. This demon-possessed guy, he says he lived amongst the tombs and he's cut himself because he hated himself, you know, because he's an image-bearer God. So he would cut himself and chains couldn't even hold him. The whole community, and if you've ever met a demon-possessed guy, they're very strong. I've only met one. She was about 90 pounds and she was immensely strong. Physically. And so he's got a legion of them. And he goes, but he does something interesting to me. As he's running, you'd think maybe he's going to attack them, whatever. But he falls at the feet of Jesus. And he cries out, you know, what do you want with us? Have you come to torment us before the time? You see, he knows who God is. And he knows that he's going to have to bow the knee. And so when people say to me sometimes, well, I believe in God. Well, listen, the demons believe in God. Whoop-de-doo. The demons even submitted to him, but he's not doing so willingly. He says, well, you come to torment us before the time, the appointed time. And Jesus, what he does, very cool. He says, come out of them. Come out of him. And he's like, please, please, they ask. They ask the demons, the legion of demons, ask Jesus permission to go into these pigs that they were raising in the area. Now, for a Jew, a pig is like a blasphemous animal. Like for a Jewish person, a lamb, okay, sacrifice, they would sacrifice the lamb, like we heard the Lamb of God. To a Jewish person, it would be special. Same thing to a pagan is a pig. So this is like they would sacrifice to their God. So this is icky for them. And they so the demons are like, let me go into the pigs. Let us go into the pigs. So he asked permission. And the neat thing is, Jesus said, yeah, you can go into them. You remember the side? I've been there. They all went into the pigs and they ran over the side of the cliffs. Okay. And this one man, right? This one man was completely healed. It says he sat there in his right mind, in his right heart. It was a beautiful thing. So you think everybody, this guy that terrorized the town, this demon-possessed guy, these pagan pigs, so the whole town comes out, right? They're like, what is going on? The whole town, you think they're out there to praise Jesus, right? Hallelujah. This guy's been saved. He's been sanctified. Now God's going to do work, and he's clearing out this area. We're so excited to see God working. But the people didn't really want that. You know what the people did? Didn't celebrate him. Didn't praise the Lord. Hey, let's get this guy a home. Let's get this guy in fellowship. You know what they did to poor Jesus? Who saved this guy living in the tombs, cutting himself, chained up? They told Jesus to get out of here. To leave the area. And you know why they did that?
Because of the pigs.
Because what?
Because of the pigs.
Because of the pigs. They were more interested in their profit. Mm-hmm. They lost profit with all those pigs going. They were more interested in their profit than they were in the person. Isn't that true of a lot of people today? Jesus is interested in the person. Anyway, so we continue on. And so they ask him to leave. So here, we've got the demons ask him permission to go into the pigs. They do that. The people, instead of rejoicing, ask him to leave their area. The community, the capitalists. Crazy. And then the one guy who's now sane, healed in his right mind, he wants to follow Jesus. He wants to be with him. And something weird happens. Jesus says no. What? Why would Jesus do that? I can't believe it. Doesn't Jesus love this guy? Yeah, don't forget, he came across ready, demon-possessed storm, demons again, you know. But if I was this guy, and he said no, I would be crushed, right? Maybe angry, hurt, maybe thinking he doesn't love me after all. But God has a plan for that one person to reach many. He said, here's what I want you to do. You'll hear of me, you'll learn of me. I just want you to go back and tell the others in your community what God has done for you. You don't have any great education. You don't have all this fancy schmancy stuff. You don't need these degrees. I just want you, one person, to go back and tell others what Jesus did for you. You don't have to have all the Bible verses down. You don't have to have all the Bible studies under your belt. You don't have to have all this ability, right, or capability. Just tell what Jesus Christ did for you. That's it. So, it's kind of funny to the pigs, demons, he let them do what they want. Sure. People, okay, I'll leave. The guy said, now I've got a mission for you. I just want you to go and tell them what you have done for me. And it's an amazing thing. Can you hit that light just for a second, Chris? Alright, one side go off. There's another time, much, much later on, in the book of Matthew, where Jesus... where Jesus goes back. And he goes back to the same area along the Sea of Galilee. And he goes back to that same area, the Decapolis. And you think, well, what's the big deal there? They already rejected him. They already asked him to leave. They didn't want him there. Yeah, but he left somebody. Just an uneducated, demon-possessed guy trying to kill himself. Right? Suicidal spirit, just wants to cut himself, just wants to die, hates himself. But Jesus says, I love you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and I have a purpose and a plan for you. And don't forget it. And I'm going to heal you, and you're going to be mine, and I'm going to take you, and I'm going to use you, to minister to people. A wretch like me. Like you. And the neat thing, this is what happens as he goes back over there. In Matthew 15, it says, Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. And he said that, it says in verse 30 here, it says, great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And many people came to listen and to hear him. In that same area, all he had was one person. One person who was willing to just share what God has done. What Jesus had done for him. And Jesus was able to use that one man in more ways than he ever could have imagined. And so maybe you're sitting here today and thinking, oh, I'm too abused. I'm too used. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm not knowledgeable enough. I don't know. Whatever your excuse is, you surrender it to Jesus. I'm too tired. I'm too this. I'm too that. You surrender it to Jesus, and you allow Jesus to operate in and through you to do things that you can't even imagine. Obviously, that one guy had done a pretty good job simply being faithful, simply telling what Jesus has done for them. You don't need to be fancy-schmancy, right? You don't need to be big and famous. You just need to have a heart that loves the Lord and is willing to surrender yourself to him to do whatever he asks. And then God will use you in ways that you never would have imagined. But that's our Savior Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we led me to this video. I show a video once a year.
Is this Christmas?
And this is the one that he actually had me in tears. I started off slow, and I'm thinking, why do you want me to show this? And then by the end, I'm like, I got it. I understand now. Oh, that's interesting. He wants us to be the light of the world. And to shine. So that other people would see our good works and praise our Father. So as George cues up this video, as we watch it, I just want you... think about what's being said and realize if you're here today, again, we'll go into Colossians. We'll start that next week. You can read ahead. But God has a message for you in this storm. Somehow, the flooding, you made it here to the other side. And God wants you to minister. So let's hear what he has to say to us in Jesus' name.
Do you remember your days? Do you remember? first moment when I became completely blown away and intrigued with the idea of being a magician. That was the moment that I knew that I could actually be good at this. It is the most fun thing in the world to me. I tend to like questions a lot more than answers, and what a magic trick does is it forces you into a place of questioning, and it pulls the rug of reality out from underneath you to where you're literally left in a place where you don't know what is happening.
And I recorded my first song. My mom actually helped me to record it. She has some recording gear, and it was the most amazing thing to hear yourself recorded. I never thought in my wildest dreams that I would be a musician for a living. I didn't even think that was possible.
As a magician, you're very skeptical, and you realize that most of what's going on behind the scenes is fake or false. The idea of an all-powerful God seems incredibly silly. And when I talk to people that would go to church, I can remember thinking that they were just falling for a simple magic trick. It's like the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain, controlling everything. Understanding how to make people believe something was real when it was really not. I am a master of phoniness. I'm a charlatan by craft. But I began to ask myself a big God question. I said, God, if you are real, then I need you to bring me back behind the curtain. I need you to show me how it works. And I need you to make this so real to me that I cannot ignore it. Forget the day. This man walks into my room. He said, Mr. Miller, I don't want to tell you this, but you have cancer. I said, what? And he looked at me, he said, Mr. Miller, he said, we cannot cure you of your disease. My wife and I just a 3-year-old girl and a 2-year-old little boy, and I needed more time with my family. I needed more time.
Drafted me in the 6th round of the 2003 draft, and it was everything that I was looking for. You know, I had some tremendous challenges through college, getting the field, getting the recognition, and now I felt like, you know, this is finally it. So it was about that glory for me as a rookie, and I just enjoyed every moment of it. that, you know, money will solve all your problems. And I found that the money only multiplied the evils that were in my life. It just gave me access to more of the things that I craved the most. Whether, you know, if I had women, it just made me that much more likable by women. If I loved alcohol, now I was able to get all the alcohol I wanted. I love, you know, now, whereas maybe in time past I didn't have marijuana, and now I'm able to buy all the marijuana that I wanted. You know, I was one person in public and a totally different person in private. My struggles with alcohol were a lot more than just having a good time and getting wasted and laughing away. I was totally, you know, just inebriated to the point where I couldn't keep my composure. There were times where my blackouts, you know, led me to places where I woke up the next day and naked in the bed and not knowing, you know, what happened the night before. You know, I smoked weed every single day throughout my rookie year. And I began to not just smoke the weed, I began to sell weed. I'll never forget those sirens in my rearview mirror, the sound and how my heart dropped in that very moment. You know, being asked to get out that car and then searching the car and pulling out that half pound of marijuana. And it was a deflating moment in my life. For the first time, you know, as I was being pulled into that 4D jail cell, I realized that I was broken. You know, I was broken, and there was no one to look at other than myself.
On the outside, you look great. But deep inside, you're searching for something you haven't yet found. There must be something else in life than this.
Little girl, we kind of struggled financially. My mom being a single mom with two kids at 18, it was obviously a difficult situation to be in. When I was 10 years old, my cousin, who's 3, was like a little brother to me. He was beaten to death by his stepfather. How could I trust in a God that would allow something like that to happen? Just spiraled into depression, and I ended up hanging out with people who had issues like mine in their life and ended up getting involved in drugs and just continued to fuel that depression. When I was 16, I was very outspoken atheist and really searched a lot of different religions and just felt so empty in everything, whether it was in drugs or sex or even just deep thinking and philosophies. It just seemed to all be nearly empty. And since there wasn't anything in life that satisfied the emptiness, I just didn't want to do life anymore.
There were times I cried myself.
I planned to commit suicide. I just didn't want to wake up anymore. I just was tired waking up, and I just thought, I can't keep doing this.
Only to wake up wishing that I did.
The day I planned to commit suicide, I came home from school early, and my grandma wasn't supposed to be home. And she just had a way of knowing when something was wrong. And she just looked at me and said, "Something's wrong with you. You're going to church." And that was the last place in the world I wanted to be. I hated Christians. I hated church. And I was like, "There's no way I'm going to go to church." And we got into a crazy screaming match, and I just remember saying, "If you'll just shut up, I'll go. And when it's over, then I'll commit suicide."
Millions are crying, "What can I do to be saved from the pressures of life? The pressures are just so great. We have great technology to save time, but we have less time than ever. The tensions in the home, problems at work, health problems, making ends meet. We want to scream at life. We want to escape from life." And like Stevenson once said, "It's not the days of your life,
but the life in your days that count. You have so much time, but for what? The things that are broken in your heart and life can be restored in Christ if you put your faith and your confidence in Him. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead for you. He wants to give you guidance in your life. He wants to give you a peace and joy and assurance that if you died, you'd go to heaven. But first, there must be a change. You must turn around. That's called repentance in the Bible. Repent. Repent.
When I was in that jail cell, I really just knew I was at the end of my own strength. I realized I'm 24 years old, NFL Special Teams Rookie of the Year, New York Giants Rookie of the Year, and I had everything that anybody could potentially want, but it didn't lead to anything apart from decay and death and disappointment. And I was broken. You know, I was broken, and, you know, I realized that, you know what, there's no one to look at other than myself. And at that moment, nothing else mattered. I just knew I needed something more. I just cried out in desperation and just said, God, all I know is I need you. And that following weekend, after I got arrested, I ended up in the back of the church in a fetal position, crying and weeping out to God. I could no longer resist God's love. As I received God's forgiveness, I knew that I was new. The person of Jesus Christ was now a reality in my life. It wasn't just a myth. It wasn't just a figment. But this idea, the forgiveness of sins, is what actually sets man free. And I was immediately transformed. I knew that I experienced the love that had changed my life forever. And I knew there was never going to be any looking back for me.
How much longer do we have? The psalmist requested that the Lord remember how short my time is. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I'm withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever in thy remembrance unto all generations. Think of it. God will endure forever. But on this earth, we're like a shadow that's declining. We're all dying. From the moment you were born, you started dying. How much longer do we have?
The cancer doctor looked at me and said, Mr. Renault, he said, we cannot cure you of your disease. There is something, however, that we want to try. It's called a bone marrow transplant. The problem with your body is that your white blood cells are making bad copies of bad copies. Your body is deceiving itself. It's playing a trick on itself. So what we need to do is we need to completely destroy your system. And what we're hoping to do is we're hoping to find someone in the world whose DNA matches yours close enough to grow a brand new immune system, a brand new blood system from scratch. Substitute someone else's perfect blood on your behalf so that you can live again.
God said, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. There has to be a substitute for you who will take the judgment that you deserve, the death that you deserve. And that substitute became Jesus Christ.
I was thinking to myself, man, my time is running out. I am dying of cancer.
It's been hard to deal with right now. Peyton is 3 years old and Gavin is 2 years old. Two babies should just take my life early. I love you.
They began the most vicious concoction of chemo, the goal of which was not just to destroy the cancer in my body, but was literally to destroy me. It was hell. It was a slow death.
I really am scared. I'm really trying not to be fearful, but I am fearful. I'm trying to be strong for my wife and for my family. But I'm pretty scared.
around 7 million people currently registered on the database. And there was one perfect match for me. Just one. It was a 19-year-old female. I said, Mr. Monroe, your bone marrow transplant is scheduled for April 23rd. You're going to get a brand new birthday. I said, you are going to be like a baby inside the womb all over again. The nurses celebrate your new birth in the hospital. And I heard that terminology before, too, somewhere at the churches that I had attended. But literally, I was going to be born anew. And then I'll never forget, on April 23rd, they brought this bag of blood into my room. And everyone was hoping in that moment that my body would receive that new life, that new blood. I sit here today, 100% completely cancer-free. When they look at my blood today, they see a 19-year-old female. They see her. They see XX chromosome. And I'm reminded of a verse in Galatians 2 that says, it's no longer I who live, but it's someone else who lives on the inside of me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith. John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, knowing you, God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I'm fully convinced of the claims of Jesus as a skeptical person and as a illusionist. I know that the God of the universe has brought me back behind the curtain, just like I asked him to. Cancer was how he did it through my life. And there's a spiritual cancer that's eating us away on the inside. And we're all longing, we're all begging for someone to step in and save us from that condition.
God looks at your heart, and God sees that you have a spiritual heart disease. And that spiritual heart disease is called sin. And we're all sinners. That means we've broken the laws of God. We've disobeyed God. We've rebelled against God. And because we've rebelled against Him, we're going to have to face a judgment. Oh yes, there's coming a judgment. There'll be some day when you will stand before God at the great judgment day, and you'll have to give an account of your life here, and you'll have to give an account of what you did with Jesus Christ on this very night. Because there's going to be a judgment. God's judgment is also tempered by His love and His mercy. He's willing to forgive you tonight. He's willing to give you a chance tonight. No matter how much time you've wasted in the past, you can still have tomorrow.
Straight to my heart, like I was the only person in the room. And he stops in the middle of what he's saying. He says, there's a suicidal spirit in the room, and God wants you to know that He loves you. All of your stuff on the back of my neck, I was like, this is really freaking me out. I gotta get out of here. I got up and went towards the door after he dismissed the church, and a man grabbed me by the arm, and he was a white-headed old man, and he said, God wants me to speak to you, and He wants you to know that even though you've never known an earthly father, that He will be a better father to you than any earthly father could ever be. He said, He's seen you when you cry yourself to sleep at night. And when he said that, it really shook me, because I cried myself to sleep every night since I was 10 years old. If I didn't cry, I couldn't sleep. He said, He sees you when you cry yourself to sleep at night, and He loves you so much, and He sent His Son Jesus to die and bleed on the cross to take all the pain that you're experiencing on himself, so you don't have to experience it. He said, do you want him to take that from you? Because he died to take it. And I was like, well, you can try it. You know, he was like, can I pray for you for that? I was like, you can try it. I don't really believe in all this, but I know something crazy is happening right now. And so he put his hand on my shoulder and began to pray. And he said something like, God, I pray that you would wrap your arms around your daughter and let her know how much you love her. In my life, I searched for something to satisfy the longing in my heart. And every time I come away, something you just can't explain that you have to experience, where I literally felt like I was in front of the God of the universe. And the thing that I noticed first of all was that this God was so holy and awesome, and I was so not that.
Some of you think that you're too bad to come to God, have done too many things and gone too far. God's not waiting to judge you. God's not waiting to condemn you. God loves you. He sent his son to die on the cross for you, to shed his blood for you. He wants to put his arms around you and receive you. And he will take you and forgive you and love you and be your friend.
This God was so holy and awesome. And if God had said, go away, it would have been right. It would have been justice for me. I know. But the craziest thing was that he's drawing me in and taking me into his arms and saying, I love you just the way you are. I'm not shocked by any of this. And if you let me, I will make you new. It's amazing to think that God is a father like that.
Change your way of living, to get rid of those old habits you shouldn't have.
must come by faith, but without faith it's impossible to please him. The word faith means that you totally trust. The scripture says in Romans 4 that him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. I have to have righteousness to get into heaven, and I don't have it. Billy Graham is a sinner. I don't have any righteousness of my own. I come in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. If you can work your way to heaven, you get up to heaven and boast to everybody. Look what I did. I was such a good person. I got here on my own. You get there totally because of Christ. The time is short, Paul's us to do something about it now, because the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the accepted time, not tomorrow, today. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. You can harden your heart. You hear a message like this and it can be very dangerous, because you will harden your heart, and the next time you hear the gospel, your heart will be harder and harder. Come to Christ now. If there's even a whisper in your heart that you need to come, you come and say, Lord, you have all of me tonight. I want to be sure that I'm ready to meet you. Come now. Come now.
If you'd like to receive Christ, then you can pray a prayer like I did. Dear God, I'm a sinner.
I'm sorry for my sins.
I want to turn from my sins.
I believe Jesus Christ is your Son.
I believe he died for my sin and that you raised him to life. I want to trust him as my Savior and follow him as Lord. From this day forward,
Jesus, I put my trust in you. I surrender my life to you.
And I surrender my life to you.
I surrender my life to you.
Please come into my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
So the man, and if that were you, underline that, highlight it, star it, whatever you do in your own Bible. Mark chapter 5, verse 20 says, and the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. The man began to tell others around him how much Jesus had done for him. And the people were all amazed. If you have surrendered your life to Jesus, and God has done that work in you, because I know there's some here who have and there's some here who haven't, I want you just to stand up right now. If you have done that and God has done a work in your life, I want others who have not to see that God has changed your life. Would you please stand up? And I want to pray for you first. I want you guys, if you just close your eyes, and I just want to pray a prayer. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand to the Lord. I know this is a little odd. I'm just asking you to raise your hand. And it says surrender. It's just surrender. Father, I just pray in Jesus Christ's name for your people right now who have already surrendered their hearts and life to you, Lord. I pray if there's any little bit that they're hanging on to, Lord, any selfishness, any self-centeredness, Lord, any pity, any anxiety, Lord, any fears, Father, any apathy, any laziness, Lord God, any unforgiveness, we will be surrendered to you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Any unbelief, Lord, that you could use me, that you could use us, would be surrendered to you right now in Jesus' name, and that we would believe that you could do exceedingly abundantly more than we would ever ask for or imagine if we just will tell others what Jesus has done for me. And in an attitude of prayer, if there's anyone here who has not done that yet, if there's anyone here who has not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, surrendered their life, I would like you to just raise your hand as well right now. If there's anyone here, in Jesus' name, and I would just like you to pray that prayer. And if you have done that, if you have asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, I want you to come see me after the service. If I'm talking to somebody, you grab my arm and say, I've asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, or I want to be saved. What will I do? We'll stop everything. And we'll stop and we'll pray right then. And I want to pray for you. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name to those who have done that here, even in this service, Lord, who've given their life to you, Lord. I thank you for them, Lord. And I ask that you would do great things in their life, Lord, as they seek you, as they surrender to you, and as they follow you, Lord. Bless them mightily, Lord God, in ways that I can't, Lord, that they would not follow a church, a pastor, a denomination, Lord. They would follow the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. For where else can we go? He has the words. You have the words of eternal life. Let them know you supernaturally. Let them understand your presence, Lord God, in ways that they never have done before. And we ask that you would do a work in us, in our body, in us individually, as we meet with people and talk with people, Lord, that you would show Jesus and shine Jesus through us and through them. And we ask these things in the mighty, awesome, powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. I love you guys. God bless you. Tell others what Jesus has done for you. Amen.